The Business on RT Radio 1 with Ulster Bank. For when you're keen to know what Brexit means for your business, visit ulsterbank.ie/Brexit.
But first, the roads will be busier come Monday morning as more people return to work as part of the first phase of opening up the country. We've already seen the concerns about how some of the meat factories are operating, completely ignoring the guidelines in some cases for physical distancing. So how do we make sure staff and customers are safe as we reopen? We're joined by Helena Ryan of Cougar Safety in Limerick, Ian Talbot, Chief Executive of Chambers Ireland, and Gerry McCormick, Deputy General Secretary of SIPTU. You're very welcome to the programme. Helena, to you first. From the advice that you've been giving to companies as they prepare to open up and the economy opens up, what kind of companies, in your view, are taking this seriously, and are some not taking it seriously at all?
Good morning, Richard. Yes, I suppose there's different aspects of it, of safety requirements, in the fact that it depends on the size of the job. You will have the bigger companies, don't you, are going actually all out, making sure that everyone is compliant, that procedures are followed from the CIF guidance document, Rev 2, the SOP, and making sure that everything is basically in place, don't you, before Monday morning.
So when they're going all out, and let's say, for example, in the likes of construction sites which are coming back, what does that entail, Helena?
I suppose, don't you, that first of all, don't you, a compliance officer is required. Guidance document is there from the CIF. That has to be the protocol of that has to be followed, the SOP. And with compliance officers, you'll have a compliance lead. On the bigger jobs, don't you, that compliance lead then will liaise with all the other compliance officers there from the subcontractors. They will have to meet every morning to discuss, don't you, the works and where they're going to be working. The amount of people that they will have on site, don't you, where the numbers are going to actually be reduced in the first couple of weeks because of how actually the work is going to go.
And will people have to fill in forms saying where they have been in the last 10 or 14 days?
Temperature checks? Forms as to where you have been in the last 14 days before they come into site, don't you? The CIF, don't you, brought out an induction that every contractor in the going onto a building site has to complete. So that's a 15-minute induction. And I think as of 2 or 3 days ago, over 102,000 people had completed that.
And is anyone doing full body temperature checks, that sort of real detail?
The real detail, yes. And you're working with a security company myself, and they stepped up to the mark and where they're actually... For the bigger jobs, again, like the ones above in Dublin, where they have vast amounts of people on working on them, they have full body temperature checks. So you stand up to the machine, and if you're over 37.5, then basically the alarm will go, and you cannot come into site.
And you're probably sent home, perhaps.
You're sent home.
Excuse me. And just one other point there on that. Let's say, for example, on a construction site, inevitably at some point people will have to get closer than 2 metres apart. They can do a certain amount, but somebody might need a hand with a lift with some piece of machinery or steel or something. How does all that work?
Well, I suppose it's human nature. I said we are people that we actually go towards each other rather than away from each other. Even when we want to speak to something, you might have two guys that want to look at a drawing and they have to stand side by side, or else they'd have to have two drawings and speak with 2 metres. But when you've got guys that are physically doing work outside and they need to lift something, then you're back to your compliance officer. That has you liaise with your compliance officer when you have to come within that 2 metre rule. And the correct PPE has to be worn to protect the people that are doing the work. And then...
So somebody will have to put on PPE if they're going to lift a piece of steel beside somebody else.
Most will have a 5-point PPE, so your helmet, vest, boots, glasses and gloves. Now we'll have to mask up and maybe a visor as well. It's all down to the risk assessment, whether it's 30 seconds or it could be 10 to 15 minutes. Maximum of 15 minutes in any one area.
Right. Gerry McCormick of SIPTU, when we saw what had transpired in some of the meat plants and some of the detail that came out about it, I mean, is there a culture, do you think, of non-compliance about these kinds of things that's ready and already there in place and is maybe about to get worse in some employers?
Good morning, Richard. Yes, I think there is. And you mentioned the meat industry itself. And I mean, that's a very good example of where voluntary recommendations were put in place or guidelines, and it hasn't worked. Now, we have the protocol, and your last speaker has said that there are very extensive requirements on employers to follow when people are coming into work and how that is to be managed. And we're very happy that it does require that workers will have a representative as well who will be involved in the evaluation of the risk assessment and ensuring that the protocol is implemented in full. But we have two problems. One, we have some employers who will not take notice of it, who will, and to be fair, I just want to say most employers will. Most employers are very good and will ensure that their workers are safe. But there are some that won't. And we have evidence of that already in other sectors. So we do have a problem. And then from an employee's perspective, we have some people who are anxious to get back to work, who feel under pressure, who some of them may be migrant workers and may not take or may take risks that they otherwise wouldn't do in the circumstances. So there's that as well. And there's a bit of apathy starting to come in as well, where a lot of people believe that the worst of this crisis is over. I don't believe that it is, but many people do. And some of those workers are likely to take risks and we would encourage them not to do so. So there is that issue as well. But just maybe if I could deal a little bit with the protocol and this issue about compliance. The document is very well constructed. It has, we believe, about 106 moving parts to it, so it's very extensive. It covers every aspect of any job, but it is a general application. So there may be some specific, and your last contributor mentioned the CIF. We have been engaging with the CIF. We've been trying to work through a protocol with them as well to ensure that workers, when they do come to work, are going to be fully protected. Now, that hasn't been completed yet. We hope that we can have one in place, but it is essential to ensure that workers are protected.
Is it realistic or practical, do you think? I suppose you might say it'll have to be when a foreman on a construction site is going to tell somebody off, basically, because they have to go back and put on PPE because they're going to work in close proximity to lift something with somebody else. Can you see that actually happening?
Yeah, that is their responsibility. They must do that. They must ensure that the workers are protected. They must have the proper PPE available and they must wear it in circumstances where it is required. The key to this whole issue is that the HSA have the responsibility to oversee the implementation of this protocol.
That's the Health and Safety Authority.
Yeah, the Health and Safety Authority. I have looked at all of the other European countries. There is a document that sets out every other country and what they have done and all of the guidelines they have issued to employers and employees. And this protocol is as good, if not better, than most of them. Now, it has a mandatory aspect to it. It's not contained specifically in the protocol itself, but it is, in effect, the HSA has the authority to oversee the implementation of it. The key to this is that they must very quickly mount inspections. And they must, where they advise employers who may not be, through no fault of their own, maybe not complying with correctly, advise them to make sure that they are. But where we have employers who are flagrantly breaching the regulations, then they must, and they have the power to close down these sites or close down a plant or a part of a plant or part of a site if they have to. That is absolutely crucial. Now, the HSA have the expertise to do that. They have the legislation to do it, and they must do it. Now, I know that...
I presume they need the resources. They might well need additional inspectors, and that's something that might take time.
Yes, I was just getting onto that, Richard. We do agree that that the authority is underfunded. There's no doubt about that. They have around 100 inspectors. There are also other inspectors employed in other parts of the departments who can be drafted in. This is a public health emergency. The HSA needs to put all of their resources in making sure that they saturate building sites and plants and every place else is up and running to make sure there's compliance, complete compliance with the protocols. That is their
I want to bring in, Gerry, I want to bring in Ian Talbot here, Chief Executive of Chambers Ireland. I mean, when you read the papers this morning and the Irish Independent is talking about a shopping frenzy, fear as stores reopen doors, Minister Simon Harris says now is not the time for new curtains. I mean, how prepared do you think that a lot of businesses will be for the possibility of a rush?
Well, first of all, it's great that we're starting to see the economy reopen again. So that's a really positive thing. And I think we need to recognise as well the extraordinary efforts by so many people over the last 9 weeks without necessarily any of this guidance in place that had to work, you know, in obviously the whole healthcare sector, the retail sector and so on. As Gerry says, we have a very good protocol in place now and employers are looking to adopt that and, you know, put all the necessary requirements in place. We're opening in a very measured way. And this is part of, I think, the reason the government is very wary about opening, for example, the home care rather than the hardware sector. It needs to be done in a measured way because we don't know the impact.
Do you think, Ian, there's a danger that some businesses or retailers, for example, might be very focused on having social distancing within the shop, but they might not have the right measures in place outside the door if a lot of people show up?
Absolutely. And this is a big concern. Our companies will be ready inside the shop. They will have the right PPE for their staff. And it is, again, to Gerry's point, it's up to staff to bring forward issues they're concerned about and talk to their employer and, if necessary, go to the HSA. Yes, but the real worry is if we open up too much at the one time, we start to have issues at street level. We start to have too many people congregating in areas where new shops are reopening, for example. And that's a worry. And we're going to need control outside the shops as well as inside the shops. And I suppose that's going to be, to some extent, a responsibility of the Gardaí now as well, to just keep an eye on how crowds are building up.
One of the issues that has surfaced, particularly in a UK context, been quite a lot on British radio about it, where they're talking about the idea that those who have a car, who might often take public transport to work, they'll take the car because they'll want to socially distance and they won't want to be confined on buses. And you could see quite a lot of quite a heavy increase in traffic.
There's going to be some unexpected demographic changes here. Absolutely. And the consumers who, for example, might have taken public transport, for example, into Dublin city centre or elsewhere, may decide to take their car instead. And of course, public transport itself is very limited. There's only a limited number of seats available on trains and buses. So I think we should caution the public to be very careful about everyone rushing to get in their car on Monday morning and go to their nearest hardware shop. And I think people should be prepared to turn back, for example, if it's looking too crowded.
Gerry McCormick, we had a text in there. We were talking about temperature checks. One texter says the temperature check thing is a load of rubbish. People are eating loads of paracetamol to mask their temperatures. And they're saying in the present tense as if this is happening already.
Yeah, well, look, whether people are taking pharmaceutical to mask it, I'm not sure. But it is not an absolute solution. We accept that. But it does pick up people coming into work who may have temperatures. Some employers across the meat industry have introduced it, and it's working successfully. Now, as I say, it's not a panacea, and there are issues around it. But the key thing is to pick up workers who may be sick from time to time. And this is just one aspect of it. It's not everything, but
sure,
it will be helpful. We're calling for it to be introduced mandatory across meat plants,
okay,
where we know that workers are coming in. And the reason why, you have to dig into why people are coming into work.
We're just running out of time. I'm conscious of time there. Thank you very much, Gerry McCormick of SIPTU, Ian Talbot, Chief Executive of Chambers Ireland, and Helena Ryan of Cougar Safety in Limerick.